哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿，哎呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿呀呀嘿呀嘿。
Elder Voices, a window to the past, a door to the future.
Ay, 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 ay.
My name is Winton Udukdak Amerizuk Oigina Wiapuk Jr. I was born in Wales, Alaska, on December 9, 1950. Wales was, it seemed rather small. There was no electricity, no television, no phones. And airplanes would come maybe once a week to deliver mail. There was a U.S. Army station airport that the planes would sometimes land on, but a lot of times they landed right on the beach. Everybody was friendly. Everybody helped each other, especially elders. Everybody would get together for community activities, you know, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, other stuff like that. I was raised by my mother and father, and I had three brothers, three sisters. One of my sisters was adopted. So we had a fairly large household in our home when I was a child growing up. Our parents would always give us chores to do, like hauling water, cutting wood, chopping wood, or stuff like that. And they'd always tell us to help elders. You'd say if you're praying out and you see an elder carrying something, drop what you're doing and go and help the elder. My father was kind of a stern man in a way. He was loving, but he's stern, and he'd correct us, scold us, and always tell us to be good, do good, be careful, don't get in trouble. My mother was really loving too, and she's, she's a really good person, and everybody liked her. She taught a lot of young women and girls how to sew or knit. In the spring and summer, she'd always be picking leaves, and then in the fall, berries. Leaves, roots, berries, and she'd always ask me to follow her so I could help her pack what she picked home. When I was picking, she'd have me pack a load of firewood, so driftwood, so we could make a fire out there and heat tea and have lunch.
Thank you.
a lot of the elders, old women, or older men, they love telling stories. Older lady named Dora Tonk, and she was a good storyteller. She'd tell stuff like sort of ghost stories. She'd put the emotions of the moment into a story. She'd put the fear and tension into the story, so you could feel it. George Sutton, he was good friends of my parents, and he'd always come down. He lived across the street. He'd always go to my parents' house to visit. And when we were kids, we'd always go to his house, and he'd tell us stories in the guinea pig. Yeah. He'd feed us tea and crackers while he was telling the story, our stories. He was a reindeer herder. So he and Tom Lopp and some other people from Well drove a reindeer herd from the Seward Peninsula all the way to Thurl to save the starving whalers. It turned out they weren't really starving. They drove the reindeer all the way up anyway. Sometimes he would say, this story will take 2 days to tell, or 3 days to tell. So come back tomorrow and hear the other part of the story. First time I was supposed to go hunting, maybe I was 9. When my dad finally said, okay, you can go hunting with us. But he also warned me that I had to get ready quickly. They won't wait for me. So I got ready as quickly as I could, and they were already launching that boat. I felt so sad. I got to go the next time. Preteens and my teenagers, we would hunt in umiaks, skin boats. And there was hardly any wooden skiffs, maybe one or two, but most everybody had these umiaks, and some of them were rather big, 30, 32 feet long, big boat. Those umiaks, those 30 footers or bigger, they could hold a lot. They could hold a big load. One time, when I was rather young, maybe 11 or 12, I went hunting with my dad and the crew he was hunting with, Andrew Seto. And Andrew had a 32-foot umiak. And we had 13 people, including me, and the crew. One day we got 5 walls, we cut them up, meat, blubber, skins, just about everything except some of the bones. So we loaded 5 whole walls in our umiak and brought them home. Thank you. It's beautiful out there. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times it's really beautiful out there. In April, even through the spring. Sometimes the sunlight makes the ice show so many colors. Even though it just looks white, the light can make it look so beautiful. Plus, seeing all the animals and birds out there, and it's how many there are. We'll see flock after flock after flock of eider ducks. One big flock after another, and pretty soon you say, "Wow, man, that's a lot of birds, that's a lot of ducks, going by." One time we saw a huge flock of eider ducks. Must have been a flock about a mile and a half long or so. There was several thousand, I don't know how many thousand in that flock. It was an amazingly big flock of eider ducks, and when we saw it going by, we just said, "Wow, amazing." April, almost when bullhead whirling season is over, the male bearded seals, they start making their mating calls or songs on the water. And when you first hear a bearded seal singing underwater, that's amazing. That's a strange sound, and it makes a sound that it's hard to describe, but wow, so beautiful, the way they sing. The animals, they vocalize underwater too, and like the beluga whales, bowhead whales, and the way we would listen to their vocalizations underwater, you take a paddle, stick it underwater, and put one end under your ear, and that paddle acts like an underwater microphone, and you can hear everything underwater through that paddle. And sometimes when we're floating on the water in the boat, you can hear the singing right underneath you, And you know the bearded seal will come up really close. And my dad and others would always say, "Be careful, come on, be careful, hold on with you, and don't take any chances." Like if you reach some pack ice and you see a herd of walrus inside, but it looks like the pack ice is starting to close together, and some guys will think, "Hey man, we can still get those walrus, we can get in there and pack ice, get a walrus or two, and then load our boat and get out of there before it closes." But That's taking a chance. They say, don't take any chances, because you might endanger your crew. You guys might get in grave danger if you take a chance. Either the weather, or going too far, or going into the pack ice. They used to say, never take a chance if you're a dope. In my household, my parents spoke only Inupiaq. So, no, we had to understand and speak Inupiaq to speak to our parents. But at the same time, back then, we were discouraged from speaking Inupiaq in the school. When I was a teenager, a group of us, we kind of resolved one summer, we're going to speak only Inupiaq. And so that's what we did one summer. Because, we felt we were losing our language. And even though we were teenagers, I guess we felt Inupiaq is our language. And back on it, we're going to speak it. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We made a lot of mistakes. Trying to Inupiaq, trying to speak Inupiaq only, no English. That was fun. That was fun, but it kind of made us feel, wow, Inupiaq is a language you gotta save. I lived for 7 years in Fairbanks, going to college at the University of Alaska. I studied rural development, which was a brand new program that they had just started back then. And my emphasis in that program was in land use planning. Helen Putakuluk from Sismaref and I were I believe the first two graduates in the Rural Development Program. That was in 1986. Then I stayed an extra year to work on another BA degree in Inupiaq Eskimo. My teacher was Edna McLean, originally from Barrow. So she taught me the Barrow dialect, basically. And, while I was studying with her, she encouraged me to compare the Barrow dialect, or the North Slope dialect, to our Bering Straits dialect. Because there are some differences in words or word endings between their dialect and ours. And also when I was in studying Inupiaq with Edna, there was a exchange student from Greenland. So he and I were kind of comparing our languages and dialects too. And, there's similarities along all the way from here or further south all the way to Canada to Greenland. A little harder teaching young hunters in English rather than in Inupiaq. There's a lot of Inupiaq terms for sea ice and hunting on a sea ice, your equipment you use, tools, etc. And they all have Inupiaq names. For instance, there's always pack ice out there, April through May nowadays. It used to be April through June, there would be pack ice out there while we hunted. Sometimes it's scattered, so you can go through, and that's called Talimanaktok. Talimanaktok means you can go through the pack ice, kind of scattered. Open. Then opposite is when it gets packed tightly together. So, there's a danger you could get trapped inside the pack ice. And that's called Kamayanaktok. Kamayanaktok. It's packed tightly. And Kamayak means you have to pull your boat over the ice to safety, and that's what that word means, I guess. It's ice that you have to pull your boat over versus ice you can boat through. Igor Krupnik, I think he's a curator in at the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C. Igor and the people from Gamble and Savungum, they had produced a book called Watching Weather Our Way in the St. Lawrence Island language. And kind of like a combination sea ice dictionary and weather terms dictionary for their island. And after that was produced, Igor thought it would be a good idea for us people here along the coast, the mainland coast of Alaska, to produce our own dictionary, sea ice dictionaries in our dialect. In 2007, Igor came here and he asked a number of us here in the village if we would be interested in working on a Inupiaq sea ice dictionary. So that's how we got started. There was myself and two elders living here. There was Herbert Anangazuk, who was working for the National Park Service in Anchorage. He helped a lot, giving words he remembered. And there was a linguist at University of Alaska Fairbanks. He helped with the spelling and the orthography and et cetera. And some other people who reviewed and helped edit the book over a period of 4 or 5 years until it was ready for publication. something, at least writing our in-depth words down is important, because we gotta save some of our language somehow, at least on paper, and maybe in the future, younger generation, if they so feel, they may want to use that material to learn some in-depth. People say Inupiaq is a hard language to learn, and it is. If you're an adult, it's hard for you to get used to saying the Inupiaq word, but young kids, they get it just like that. When you're a young child, you learn languages really easily. Council, and I'm also on a corporation, Village Corporation Board of Directors. That's the president. I helped out with a local search and rescue organization in the past. Wanted to work here and help people here in some way, because they helped me, and I want to contribute something back. My name is Wintin Uduktak Emerizuk Oigina Wiyapuk Jr. I was born in Wales, Alaska, on December 9, 1950.
You've been listening to Elder Voices, a production of KNOM.
If you are an elder or know an elder who would like to participate, call KNOM at 907-443-5221. Or write to KNOM Radio, Elder Voices, P.O. Box 988, Nome, Alaska, 99762. Thank you for listening to Elder Voices.